Morning, everybody. Morning. Okay, yeah. So at the beginning of 2016, last year, David started off sharing about the blessing of God. And then for pretty much a large part of last year, that theme we kept looking at. Today we're starting this new series on grace. But did you know grace and blessing are very similar ideas, closely related? In fact, that close association was brought out with the passage David read from Psalm 67 and verse 1, which says, I don't know if it's, oh, perfect, it does. Thanks, Alex. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. And we can be blessed because of the grace of God. And God's grace in our lives brings his blessing upon us. And the psalmist is saying his wish for himself and the people of God is that they would know the gracious hand of God and the blessing of God upon them. But then it says, the next part gives an explanation as to why that is. Well, he just wants us to be blessed. But also it says that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all nations. So it's not just for ourselves. And as Pam was sharing, we want to make a difference in 2017. And the grace of God is upon us. The blessing of God is upon us. For you and me to make a difference to our world and the people amongst whom we live this year. May God bless us still so that all the ends of the earth will fear him. And I thought it'd be good just to be reminded of our motto as a church, or our mission statement, which should be up there. Yeah, knowing Jesus and then making Jesus known. So the grace of God. I want to do three things. I want to define what we mean by the grace of God. Now that's not an easy task, I'll have you know, because it's a multifaceted jewel, the grace of God, right? The second thing is, what will it do for you and me if we've got it? And then the all important thing, well, if it's good, how can I get it? Is that okay? So first thing, what is the grace of God? Now, here's a definition. It's not my own. I've nicked it. But to me, it sums up what the grace of God is. And it is this. It is the free, unmerited favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. Actually, just before I say that, I just want to pause a moment on that. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. In the Hebrew, it says selah at the end of it, which means think about this. And I just think at the beginning of a new year, what a thing. What a prayer. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make his face shine upon us. It reveals to you and me the heart of our God. He is a God who is for you, not against you. He wants you to succeed in your life. He wants things to go well for you, to have hope and a future. Do you believe that? This is our God's heart for you. So may God be gracious to us. And may he bless us. And may his face shine upon us. I believe that's God's heart for every single person in this room. No exceptions. Think about that. So back to this definition. The free, unmerited favor of God toward the undeserving and the ill-deserving. Now, there are two words in the Old Testament, the old part of the Bible, in Hebrew, one means beauty, one means pleasure. There's one word in the New Testament, charis, which incidentally, by coincidence, is the name of my daughter-in-law. It means beauty. But the point is, grace is a very attractive thing, always. It's something we want. I remember the first real occasion when grace came my way from my parents, I suppose. It sticks in my mind because I really needed this. It was a nearly new car. The other one, we were going backwards and forwards to Louth in this cranked out old Mini. which was breaking down, and got a phone call from my dad saying, our nearly new car, want to give it you. Oh, wow, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. And it was free. It was unmerited. I'd done nothing to deserve it. In fact, I'd done a lot to ill-deserve it. But we got this new car, and I was so chuffed. But the free, unmerited favour coming my way. And so that's what we mean by grace. That's the first thing. The second movement this morning, then, is what will grace do for you and me if we receive it? Three things and three P's. Isn't that great? All preachers are meant to have alliteration in their, you know. I think it's, is it alliteration? Yeah, thanks. Thanks. I don't know what I'm talking about half the time. So the first P that grace will bring to you, and this is tremendously valuable, is pardon. Pardon from wrongdoing, from sin, from condemnation. And Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, which is up on the thing, Paul writes this. He says, "For it's by grace you have been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast." Grace means we can be saved from eternal death and hell, from hopelessness in life, from a pointless life, from a life that perpetually goes wrong, from a life that leads me to hurt myself and hurt other people. The free, unmerited favour of God brings me forgiveness, pardon from sin and wrongdoing. Now, did you know that God's grace, you can't get God's grace from anywhere else but the one true God? And by that I mean the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm just reading, I'm halfway through, I was hoping to have read it by now. But Irene lent me What's So Amazing About Grace. And I want to read from a part in here, which is about an incident in the life of C.S. Lewis, the famous author and writer of the Narnia series and all that TV series and everything. Well, C.S. Lewis, during a British conference on comparative religions, experts from around the world debated what, if any, belief was unique to the Christian faith. And they began eliminating possibilities. Incarnation. Other religions had different versions of God's appearing in human form. Resurrection. Again, other religions had accounts of return from death. The debate went on for some time until C.S. Lewis wandered into the room. "What's the rumpus about?" he asked. And heard in reply that his colleagues were discussing Christianity's unique contribution among world religions. Lewis responded, "Oh, that's easy. It's great. It's grace." After some discussion, the conferees had to agree. The notion of God's love coming to us free of charge, no strings attached, seems to go against every instinct of humanity. The Buddhist Eightfold Path, the Hindu doctrine of karma, the Jewish covenant, and Muslim code of law, each of these offers a way to earn God's approval. Only Christianity dares make God's love unconditional. And so this morning, what a way to start 2017, knowing that by the grace of God there is unconditional pardon for your sins, for my sins, and my goodness, don't we need it? Whether you're a Christian or not, we do mess up, we do make mistakes, we're not perfect, but in answer to our imperfection, there is God's grace freely given to us. And you've come to the right place this morning, one of many places that lifts up the name of Jesus and worships the true and the living God. Because in him is grace, the unmerited favor to you. And so today, my prayer is that no one will leave here feeling under the weight of condemnation for past mistakes, or under the weight of sin or guilt in your life. Because today there is the free grace of God available to you through the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the only place you can go to get it. Amen. Pardon is the first benefit or effect of God's grace on someone's life when they receive it. The next thing that God's grace does for you, I mean, there are many. I've just got these three. The second P is peace. The world is searching for peace. It always amazes me how the people who should have peace have virtually none of it. How the rich, the famous. And so often their lives are full of turmoil. A lot of them die very young. And, you know, it's a mess. Peace, a rare jewel, isn't it? Now, the interesting thing is the normal Christian greeting that the writers of the New Testament in the epistles made to the people reading their letters was three words, and it's grace and peace. Grace and peace. The inference there being that if you want peace, grace is how you get it. The free, unmerited favor of God on your life. I'll just read something else from here, because even as Christians, we can lose peace. Just read something from here. Page 15. A counselor, David Siemens, summed up his career in this way. Many years ago, I was driven to the conclusion that the two major causes of most emotional problems among evangelical Christians, that's us a lot, largely, are these. Firstly, the failure to understand, receive, and live out God's unconditional grace and forgiveness. And secondly, the failure to give out that unconditional love, forgiveness, and grace to other people. I heard of one definition of grace, which I think is another Selah moment when you just think about it. And it's this. This person said, there is nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. There is nothing I can do to make God love me anymore. Because oftentimes, well, certainly I've felt feelings like this. I've thought, you know, am I doing enough for God? Is my life really up to scratch? I'm not doing enough. Am I letting God down? You know, will I look back on my life with regret, thinking I didn't take the right course there, or I didn't put enough effort into that, or this, that, and the other? And we tie ourselves up in this knot when we don't need to. There's nothing I can do to make God love me any more than he already does. That's mind-blowing, I find. But Paul and the other writers in the New Testament, they wish it on people. They say, grace and peace, grace, peace to you. Be at peace in your life. Tomorrow's Monday morning. Tomorrow's then, and we face challenge. Some of us challenge after challenge after challenge after challenge. And life's not ideal in many circumstances. But God gives us grace in the midst of storms to be at peace. And just another little quote. I've quoted this before, but I really love it. So I'll say it again, by Gerald Coates. God's not disillusioned with me, because he never had any illusions in the first place. He knows all about me. He knows all about you. There's nothing you can do to make you patch yourself up, make yourself, you don't need to. God's grace is enough. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, by the grace of God, I am what I am. And we get peace when we accept ourselves for who we are. Okay, there are things we want to change, things we want to improve. But be at peace. Grace. So I say to you this morning, receive the pardon of God. The free, unmerited favor of God. It's yours. But be at peace. Grace and peace to you. And the third thing, the third benefit of God's grace in my life is prosperity. Now, I don't mean money by that. It does include that. Listen, confession. Right? I was trying to make them all P's. Right? I was trying to get them to all P. And it was to be a P. And it was success. But actually, in the Bible, prosperity means success. Okay? I'll tell you how. In Romans chapter 1, Paul was writing to the church in Rome, and he wanted to visit them. And he said, pray that I'll have a prosperous journey. Does that mean he'll make money on the way? No, because the NIV interprets it this way, that a way would be open for me to come to you. In other words, make it work. Make it work. Make my life work. Do you ever cry out in the morning, God, that my life would work? Please, make my life work. May it go right. Well, at the beginning of 2017, the grace of God for you spells success. The grace of God, when it's at work in your life, in my life, means a big S for success in your life. So when Paul's on this journey, he's thinking, oh, I just hope I've got enough time to be able to make this trip. That's one thing. Prosper me here. Give me time. Another thing, let bandits not attack me and rob me. Another thing, I pray that I have enough money to pay for the journey. Pray that, I hope I won't get shipwrecked on the way. All sorts of things can go wrong in life. But the grace of God, your destiny, my destiny, is to find solutions to these difficulties. For God to step in and make a way where there's no way. To open a door where doors are closed at the moment. For your health, for your well-being in 2017. For success over your life. So I say to you this morning, may God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us. And grace to you. Grace and peace. And, of course, the interesting thing is that, you know, these epistles where it starts grace and peace, well, at the end, every one of them nearly also concludes with, guess what? Grace. So beginning and end, grace. And the epistles are the practical application of how to live your Christian life. How do we apply the message of the gospel in everyday terms? And so the message is that from beginning to end, to make that work, we need grace. Beginning and end, grace. At one point in Paul's life, this famous man of God, he was beset by a major problem. We don't know if it was a person, a temptation, an illness, a thorn in the flesh. And God spoke to him and said, Paul, don't worry about it. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness. And today, if you feel weak, looking at Monday morning, looking at aspects of your life, how will this come together? How will this work out? I want to say to you this morning, grace to you. Grace and peace and success. For God will be with you to bring answers to those situations. He'll bring things into place. Time and again in our lives, Liz and I, as we've been living, we've amazingly found answers to situations that we didn't know how to deal with. We've not become rich, but we've had success in finding the way forward in life. And it's been a blessing. It's been wonderful. So, what does God's grace do for you and me? Number one, pardon. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. Number two, peace. Oh, peace. Number three, prosperity or success. So how can we get it? Let's get on to the nice bit. Well, no, that's nice anyway. But let's get on. How can we get hold of then the grace of God? This is beautiful. It's charis. It's beautiful. How can we get this? Well, simply, it's dead simple. You have to receive it with thanks, believing God wants to give you his grace and reveal his grace to your life. And then, when we receive his free gift, and that gift comes to us through believing that Jesus died for us on the cross and he rose again from the dead, that free gift of forgiveness, of pardon, of peace, of prosperity comes to us. God looks on us with favour. The first verse of Psalm 67, and may his face shine upon you. See, in the Old Testament, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord looked down on Noah and found grace. And what happened to him? It made Noah stand out. He was distinguished from all the other men of his generation. He was rescued, him and his family, while everyone else wasn't. And then in Exodus, the Lord looked on the Israelites and was concerned for them. And as he looked on them, grace began to happen in their lives. And one of the greatest miracles in the Bible took place eventually, the crossing of the parting of the Red Sea, and the Israelites crossed over from slavery to freedom. But God looked down on them. Grace began to happen. And the situation of their lives changed for the better. So when God looks on us with favor, grace begins to operate in our lives. And does God look upon you? Don't answer me this, because you're going to give me the expected answer. Yeah, of course he does. Well, why does he? Does God look upon you this morning with favor? Well, I don't know, but let me say this. How does he look upon Jesus? We know from his baptism, when he came out of the water, that a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved son. In him I am well pleased." So he looks upon Jesus with great favor, does he not? But the Bible says, if you're a Christian, if you've invited Christ in, then the Bible talks about Christ being in us, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. But not only that, the Bible also says that we're in Christ. So by two points of reference, we're both in Christ and he's in us. So God looks on us, and who does he see? His beloved son, in whom he's well pleased. Is God pleased with you? If you've invited Christ, if you've accepted his free gift of forgiveness and pardon from your sins, he sees Jesus. Then you say, well, oh, is he only interested in me then because he sees Jesus? Is he not interested in me? Well, actually, yes, he is. Because God so loved the world, he gave his son. So loved you. He loves you with an eternal and undying love. The problem was our sin. But Jesus on the cross dealt with our sin problem. And so he looks on you, he sees Jesus. But he also sees you free from your sin. And his grace, his favor starts to work in your life. So this morning, I wonder if the music team, the worship group, could come up. And I'd love to pray this morning for us to enter in fully to the grace of God, and for the grace of God to be released in your life today. The grace of God is the free, unmerited favor of God, which brings for you total pardon from your sins. You don't have to work for it. You don't have to say 10 Hail Marys, burn candles. If you're from a different religion, you don't have to have a trip to Mecca or do whatever else you have to do. It's free. It doesn't cost you anything. The cost has been paid fully on the cross. But you can be pardoned. And secondly, you can know a peace which really passes all rational explanation and understanding. And you can know success in your life, in all areas across your life. I'm not saying you won't have trouble. Of course you will. But you'll have an ability to ride those troubles, a wherewithal to manage it and find solutions. And God will bring your life together as never before. It's the grace of God. How do we receive it? Say, Lord, I need you. Come to me. May your grace be with me. May your face shine upon me. And one last set of scriptures from Numbers chapter 6. The Lord said to Moses, tell Aaron and his sons, this is how you are to bless the Israelites. Say to them, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. Here's the grace bit. And be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. Do you need peace today? Do you need success in your life today? Come and receive from him. I wonder if we'd be so good as to stand up, and I'm going to pray. The beginning of this new year, and I wonder if you'd like to just extend your arms in front of you. In doing that, sort of saying, Lord, I recognize that I've sinned, I've gone wrong, but I believe you made a way for me to come back to you, and a way for me to receive forgiveness and pardon. And Lord, I want to receive that forgiveness and pardon. So if you've never received forgiveness or pardon from the living God, from the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, then today is your opportunity to say, Lord, I believe in Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me my sins. Please come into my life. In Jesus' name, amen. And if you're a Christian here, you've been a Christian for a while, but perhaps you've lost your peace, your serenity of heart, you just find that things aren't working out for you, or things aren't going quite right, you would like prayer, and I would say to you, grace and peace. And so, Lord, I just pray for each one of us, Lord. Whatever we need, perhaps we've sinned, perhaps we knew we shouldn't have done something, but we keep doing it. Lord, I pray you'll help that person, those persons. Help each of us by your grace to be able to live how you want us to live, Lord. Thank you for the free forgiveness. And for peace in our lives, God, this morning. So, Lord, we just receive your grace now in Jesus' name. And we give you thanks. Amen. Amen. I wonder if we could just do something. Ask David if David and Anne-Marie would be willing to come and speak this blessing of God and the grace of God over our lives. Like Aaron did, he imparted it to God's people.
So the Lord bless you and keep you.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you.
The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace.